So Mark and Linda Whitworth are coming up here. We have made you all work today. We had Linda pray and Mark play the guitar. And amen. If you've been around Maywood for a long time, you know Mark and Linda were here several years ago. If you are new to Maywood, you think, boy, this is the neatest young couple to come to Maywood Baptist. And they have been a tremendous blessing to us, and you've made lots and lots and lots of friends, and you have done an enormous good here. We are very blessed that you're here. Amen. So before we start preaching, Gabby, where are you? Gabby, stand up. This lady just celebrated 3 years. Amen. If you just simply want to get blown away, go to our website and go to Easter a couple of years ago and listen to her story. And it is just off the chart amazing. You'll be blessed. So I've heard it a few times. I've listened to it a few times. And I finally gotten where I don't cry while I hear it. But it's really good. So God bless you, Gabby. Good stuff. Yay. So Linda, we're going to put you to work and ask you to pray for us, and we'll get started, all right?
Heavenly Father, we just thank you for this time to gather together and to worship you, to sing praises to you, Father. We thank you for this time of the year when we just remember the gift of your Son, Jesus Christ, and what an impact he's had in our lives, Father. And we just want to share that with the nations. And so I just pray for the service this morning, Lord, that you would open our eyes into ways that we can help others come to know you where we live and around the world. In Jesus' precious name I pray. Amen.
Amen. So years ago, emphasize years ago, I drove a truck. And part of my truck driving was a delivery down in southeast Missouri. And here were the directions I was given. Go across a bridge. You will see a big tree. Past the big tree, there is a gravel road. Take a right turn, and it will lead you to a gas station where you deliver whatever I was delivering that day. Can you imagine that? I made it, believe it or not. Much better is to pull out my phone and to type it in and to have step-by-step directions where I'm going. And my wife will tell you, I get turned around inside our house, much less on a highway. And so we need these sort of things. God has done this for us. He has given us step-by-step directions. And it's not just verbally. You can pull them up in the Bible and you can read them and you can follow them. You can line your life up with them and you can't miss it. Derek's got a Bible he's wearing out, which is fantastic. And there you are. And I told Derek, I said, you know, Derek, a man who has a Bible that's worn out, his life is not. And so we're going to turn to a passage of Scripture that the three of us, are going to challenge all of us to align ourselves with. All right? So, Glenn, if you would, please. I don't have the clicker. You got to help me. There you are. Thank you. So Jesus said, and he came to them and said, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. And I want to zero in on the word authority. And so authority asks the question, who is in control here? And so anywhere you go, there's somebody who is an authority. And you can ask, you know, can we do this? Can we not do this? And so on, all right? And so authority asks, who's in control here? And in our world, authority, Jesus came, and he sort of put up a big sign which said, you're under new management. And so I'm going to pick on Derek one more time. There was a time when Derek was under his own management. And somewhere along the line, Jesus Christ came and took out that old heart and put a new heart in, and he said, Derek Deathridge is now under new management. All right? Amen. He got my glasses wet in the baptistry, being happy. He is full of life. If you've been around him, you know he's full of life. You know, Kenny, who prayed for him, Kenny is under new management. There was a time when I see Kenny come, I think, oh, great, you know. And And now I see Kenny coming, and I say, oh, great, in the name of Jesus, right? All right? By the way, if Kenny is limping, it's because he scored a touchdown yesterday in the Turkey Bowl. So, one, only one. So, we are under new management, and Jesus comes, and he says to all of us who know him, by the way, if you don't, boy, today's a great day to get acquainted with him. He says to us, I am in control. Listen to me. All right? So that's the plan. So let's read on. He says, therefore, go. We'll be talking to Mark and Linda about that. But we also need to talk to our own hearts about that. Make disciples. A disciple is somebody who follows Jesus. It's a disciple is somebody who follows what Jesus does and follows what Jesus teaches. So what he does and what he teaches, all right? Baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. So we just had a baptism, and that's certainly part of it. But that's just a part of it. The real part is to be immersed in the life of God. So a minute ago, we got three people totally wet. They were immersed. God wants you to be just like that in his presence. It's a great gift to you that Jesus is in front of you and behind you and above you and inside of you. He's everywhere through the Holy Spirit. That's a gift to you. So he says, and surely I'm with you always to the end of the age. And that's his presence. What a gift that is to us, and what a responsibility that is for us, right? Let's go one more passage, and then we're going to talk to Mark and Linda. In the book of Acts, they gathered together, and they said, Lord, are you going to restore the kingdom to Israel? They were good politicians way back when, all right? They were interested. They probably had CNN and Fox News, and they studied those. But they were interested in what's going to happen in our world. And Jesus said to them, don't worry about it. It's not for you to know. Now, that doesn't mean we don't worry about it and pray about it, but he says there's something more important. It's not for you to know the times, the dates that the Father set by his authority. Here's what you need to know. Listen to this. You shall receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you. This is my last time to pick on you, Derek. The beauty of God is that he takes our old heart out and he replaces our old heart with his Spirit. There are some people who in their former life I never, ever would have wanted to meet. All right? And I'm preaching to some of you. And, But God has a plan. He takes that old, hard, self-will heart out, and he puts it in his Spirit in, and I am able, and we're able, to worship Jesus and to serve him and to be light in the darkness in this world. We're able to do that because he does it. So he says, you will receive power. His Spirit comes into your life so that you have the power to do what? To be a witness in Jerusalem, Judea, and Samaria. Jerusalem and Judea are really narrow areas. Samaria is our enemies, all right? Jews were enemies with the Samaritans, and so we could even take the gospel to our enemies and then to the ends of the earth, and this is where Mark and Linda come in, all right? So thank you all for letting me preach a little longer than I should have, but at any rate, too bad. So Mark and Linda have spent, I love saying this, they spent half of their life and one third of a century serving God beyond the borders of the United States. And so why in the world did you do that?
I'm going to let Linda.
Well, we clearly read the scripture that said, go and make disciples in all the nations. And that just penetrated our heart, and God just convicted us that we needed to do that. And so we followed him. And I don't know why God chooses to use imperfect people like us, but he does. I mean, there's clearly, he's all powerful, he's all knowing, he could have a much more efficient way of getting his word to the nations, but he chooses to use us humble servants, and it just was a privilege for us to be able to take that gospel. And I think as he sends people, he's not just, as we were sent out from Maywood, it was just not us going, but it was, Maywood Church supported us for years, for decades, and prayed for us, financially provided support, and so Through your missions giving, you are currently supporting around 3,800 missionaries around the world. And that takes not only those people being willing to go, but it's the people back home that are holding those prayer ropes down and supporting them that allows that to happen.
Amen. Nice. So, Mark, tell us, they went to Japan. Tell us about Japan.
Well, we went to Japan in 1986, and the week before we left, I came up here to the office, and I wasn't having second thoughts, but I was having some confidence issues. Like, you know, I just didn't know if we could live there, because I grew up in Independence, Missouri, So I came up here to the office, and Bob was sitting in his study, and we had a word of prayer. And one of the last things he said to me is, "Mark, I can't wait to see how God's going to use you overseas. I can't imagine the things he's going to do." And I said, "Bob, I just want to get there." And it wasn't a week later, I woke up, and we lived next to a Japanese bathhouse. And a lot of Japanese don't have baths or showers in their small apartments, and so next door to our house was a bathhouse, and so people go to the bathhouse and they wear these little clogs and they kind of click clack down the street, and we would hear these clogs. And I woke up and I thought, "Dear Lord, what have I done? You know, what am I doing here?" I really was gripped by like almost a panic attack, like, and I didn't want Linda to know that. Because I knew we were supposed to be there, but at the same time, I was scared to death.
Yeah.
I don't think we ever lost that sense of wonder or awe that the Lord was using us in that place, and that it was His power that was working, not us.
Amen. That's good. So when you rode the subway in Tokyo, what was it like? And what did you feel?
I was struck by the fact that 9 out of 10 Japanese have no sense of God, or sense of sin, or sense of Jesus. They might know the name Jesus, but there's no churches there. Very, very few churches, and so I would, because I'm tall, I'm 193 centimeters. Average Japanese man's 170 centimeters. I'm 6'3". Average Japanese man's about 5'7", you know, 5'8". And so on the train, I could see all these heads, and I would think, okay, there might be one Christian on this train with me. And I would just start praying. You know, I didn't know what else to do. I didn't have much Japanese. I was going to start preaching on the train, but we rode the train every day, and I hated it. I just hated it. But that's how we got to class. But I would just pray for him. That's all I knew to do at first.
There you go. So these are, Mark and Linda are absolutely remarkable people. And we are totally blessed to have them in our church. And amen. But in the scheme of things, you're not the only missionaries here, right?
No.
So who are the other missionaries, and what should we be up to?
Well, we're all missionaries. I mean, that scripture wasn't just to the sent out ones or to missionaries serving overseas. That's to every believer, and we have that job to tell others about Christ, whether it's just our neighbor next door, somebody in our community. And so much of our life is not only our words of sharing, but how we live out our life. And there are so many people that are watching us. And what was that quote that you shared this morning?
Francis Assisi said that, "Preach the gospel at all times. If necessary, use words." And so I'm telling you, you know, your children, your family, the guys you work with, people live on your street, your neighbor, they're watching you. I mean, if they know you follow Christ, like, you know, why doesn't Johnny laugh at that? You know, why is Mike not going to the bar tonight? I mean, everybody else is going. Why is Mike not going, you know? And why is Mike loving his kid this way when the kid's not returning that love? That kind of stuff. They're watching everything.
This morning we were at McDonald's for breakfast, and one of the ladies in my life group, I saw her and greeted her, and later, just before the service, she came up to me. This lady has a keen sense that what she says and does is a reflection of Christ wherever she goes. And she said, "Linda, they just messed up my order at McDonald's, and I was so upset with them, and I was just getting ready to talk to them, and you came in, and it was just God reminding me, I just need to smile and be kind."
Yeah.
And so I just love that, you know.
All right, so the three of us up here have microphones, and we're preaching to you. But the truth is, we are all on the team, all right? And so they have gone to Japan and lots of places in the world, but we all have a role to play, okay? And so we've got to ask, God, what is the role that I have? So let me ask you all, what's the best part? What was the best part about serving God overseas for a third of a century?
I don't think of it that way.
I've never thought of it in those terms.
But I don't know. If you all have ever been involved in something that completely used you up, consumed, maybe it's recovery for you. It took everything you could be and do to get through a day. And that's the greatest blessing of being overseas for me was I was completely consumed with trying to live a life over there that was worthy of people looking at it and saying, oh, I think Jesus might be in that guy's life. You know, why does he do that? And it used everything I had. And I never had anything like that before. I haven't had it since. And Christ in my life, you guys that have Christ in your life, know there's nothing better. There's nothing more fuller. There's nothing that brings more joy, more peace than that. And just being fully consumed with it was, I'd never had an existence like that. And
I think the task is just so overwhelming that it drives you to Jesus in such a deeper way. And so your dependence on him just grows. And that's just such a blessing. And then just seeing changed lives.
Amen.
And it's just, you know, when you see somebody that finally gets it and surrenders their life to Christ, I mean, there's no greater joy than that when you see that transformation.
So tell us about, you were in Japan. When you got there, you started with a grand total of two.
Yeah, after we got some language, we had two Japanese ladies who knew Jesus, and with them meeting in a little apartment, we began to think about starting a church, and over a period of years, we started this church that now has a building, and there's 150 people in it, and that's one of the best things that we went back a couple of years ago and saw the church building, saw these people meeting in it with a Japanese pastor, and it's a miracle, because in Japan, when you come to faith, a lot of times you're kind of kicked out of your family, because Buddhist family are very, you know, family lines are really important. And so when people would come to Christ, it was a huge, huge deal in terms of family. And family would just turn their back on you. If you could just imagine being kicked completely out of your family because you're worshiping here today. That's what those people in that church were dealing with. And, oh, my goodness. It was just such a wonderful thing to be a small part of that.
So the Bible says that if a grain of wheat lives for itself, it remains alone. But if it gives up its life, is willing to be planted, it bears much fruit. And so you all gave your life, and you have given your life, I mean, your entire working career just about, to the work of God. And so you're not alone, but you have fruit all around the world because of that. Folks, if you wanted to applaud, you could. That's a good thing. Amen? And it's not just for folks who have microphones on the stage. It's for everybody. If you live for yourself, you will live alone. And boy, I guarantee you, you'll live really alone. But if you can give your life to God and his work, you will not only bear fruit, but you'll have people like Mark and Linda have friends who can't wait to say hi to you and give you a high five and give you a hug and come to your class and be a part of your life. It works. And so the challenge for us is let's not live alone. All right? The challenge for us is let's plant our lives in other people's lives. Right? So why don't you all, we're about out of time. Why don't you all give us a last minute thought and then we go from there.
I would just say finally, you know, this life that we had was also full of a lot of dark nights and scary nights for us. One time I called Bob from the Mideast. I was traveling in the Mideast, and a car bomb went off in the street outside my hotel while I was staying, and I called Bob from the bathroom. I went in the bathroom. They told me to go to the bathroom if there was stuff in the street. So this car bomb goes off out in the street. Bob goes, "Are you doing okay?" And, I said, not really. I don't know whether to leave or not. Should I get out in the street? Should I try to go out the back door? He goes, let me just pray for you. And it was in the middle of the night for Bob, I think. And I woke him up, and he just prayed for God's peace to come over me. And so I would say to you that in this following of Jesus, it's not that. There's a lot of this in the life in Christ. And overall, you're going to end up here, but there's a lot of this. And if you've got a church body around you like this that prays for you, this stuff is a lot less up and down if you've got people praying for you and pouring into you. Yeah. And so I would just remind you of that.
We could talk for a long time, but the clock says we can't talk for a long time. So, Mark, I'm going to ask you, please. Let's once again thank God for Mark and Linda. Yeah. And please deputize yourself and just say, you know, I'm one of those who's going to give his life or her life up for the gospel. I'm going to let the Bible be my guide.
Amen.
I'm going to come under the authority of Jesus Christ and let him be in control of my life. You know, we know what our self-will does for us. And so I'm going to let Jesus be in control. Line up with him, all right? And then as the Spirit of God works through us, let's give it to other people. All right, fair enough. Mark, why don't you pray a blessing on us, and then we'll be dismissed.
Father, we thank you so much for your word and its clarity, its truth. Father, the fact that it pierces our hearts and minds. And Lord, we thank you for your people that shine your light out to a lost world and to us specifically. Father, I thank you for coaches like Bob and Wayne and Jake, Father, that just reflect you so thoroughly to us. Father, we thank you for that. Lord, today you've given us gifts. You've given us things that we can do specifically in our workplace, in our neighborhood, with our families, Father, with our grandkids, with our nieces and nephews, with our children, Father. Use us as your instruments, Father. Let us be surrendered more up to you each day. And Lord, I pray that the people in this room would be so sensitive to your Spirit this week, Lord, and I pray that you give them pathways that are of you, Lord, whether they're up or down, left or right, Father, you go ahead and you shine the light. Father, we ask that in Jesus' name. Amen.